he's getting treatment, won't practice today, so anytime someone doesn't practice, you are concerned. Came up in the game naturally, and so we had to manage things a little bit there. But I'm proud of what he was able to do in the game and push through it like he did.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the team's injury outlook. Specifically, that's on Deion Dawkins, who did not practice today. He's going to be maybe a little bit on edge, waiting to see what the rest of the week brings with him. Speaking of injury reports, the Houston Texans, it's a little bit of confusion today, because I thought earlier, and we talked to, what was our guy's name? Will Kunkel. Thank you, Zach. Will Kunkel from Houston back in the 4 o'clock hour and said Mixon hadn't practiced. And I'd thought maybe yesterday that the outlook was that he was expected to practice, but their official injury report is out, Houston's. And in fact, Kunkel was right. Mixon did not practice. Neither did Laremy Tunsil. He's got an ankle injury. Mixon's also dealing with an ankle injury. It's only Wednesday, so we'll see. Another running back, Damian Pierce, who we talked about with Will, did not practice. Elsewhere, Tank Dell was back on a limited basis. The expectation is that he will be available for this week's game against the Bills. But Mixon bears watching, and I'd say Laremy Tunsil too. Jimmy Ward came up towards the end of our conversation with Chris Trapasso just now. He also was limited with a groin injury. Those are, to me, those are the key names on the Bills' opponents' injury report. Mixon certainly bears watching there if he's still struggling to get back on the practice field. But again, it's only Wednesday, so just like I said with Deion Dawkins, he didn't practice today. No one is saying he's not playing, so I don't want to make assumptions about Mixon or Tunsil at this point. But both listed as not participating. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get on board here. We've spent a lot of time here talking about the receiver room and Davante Adams and whether or not you want to stick with everybody eats, or as Mike likes to call it, everybody snacks, or like say, let's go get a Hall of Fame receiver to plop onto the roster. Been some good conversation on that. And we'll continue on the phones now. Winton is first up this segment. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, Bulldog? First-time caller. I'm going to talk about the experiment year a little bit here. If you look at teams like the Chiefs, that kind of won without a premier number one, and maybe the Golden Age Patriots, one thing they kind of had in common is they had premier coaching. They kind of overshadow the lack of maybe receiver talent. Mm-hmm. They scheme guys pretty open. They make the right decisions in crunch time. I love McDermott, but I think record shows crunch time decisions have not been the best. So with that being said, I think we need to go try to get Amari Cooper or Adams if possible to try to keep as much talent around Josh as possible. And that's all.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Thinking about the coaching and pivoting to McDermott and his decision-making, which, you know, it's not out of bounds by any means, but I sort of expected to hear something about Brady and whether you think, like, the scheming, because schematically, the advantage the Chiefs appear to have with a guy like Andy Reid there, and that they can get by. Of course, they have had Travis Kelce, too, which, you know, helps mitigate not having a true number one receiver since they traded Tyreek Hill a couple of years ago. What you're looking for is a guy who's calling the plays and designing your offense week to week, specific to that week's opponent, that can find an edge, find an advantage, and exploit something, make them uncomfortable, make them make choices, and push them that way. And yeah, it's too early for me to say that the Bills definitively have that in Brady. I think, like I talked about late in the conversation with Chris Trapasso, the signs are encouraging early on here, I think. You know, of course, everything kind of got derailed in the Baltimore game. But I like some of the design, the easy button throws, and that's kind of why I want to keep going with the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career and not pivot to, oh, I got to go get someone to replace Diggs. I want to see this through, at least get me a few more weeks here. I mean, it's week four. I've got Houston and New York on the road, then I'm home for Tennessee, and then I'm out to Seattle. If I come through that and I look more like I looked in the first 3 weeks than I did against Baltimore, I'm not really going to have much urgency myself. That's just me. Like, and I know January might be different, but I feel like if you're thinking about them needing to find an advantage in their coaching, I would worry a little less right now about McDermott and his fourth down decisions and be thinking about what Joe Brady can do for Allen with the personnel that's here right now. Because I think the early returns have mostly been positive, even with a big, nasty blowout loss in there. Alex is next up. Hi, Alex. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So, taking a step aside from some of the X's and O's conversation, I miss usually listen a lot, but I missed some of the conversation today. So I'm not sure what was said, you know, stemming from these Von Miller suspension. But in my mind, I really struggle to continue to be a fan of a player like that and cheer for them because I go to all the games when, you know, these if we think there's a legitimate investigation that was done by the NFL here and there's merit to what they're saying. You know, I understand from a legal standpoint, he's not, you know, facing more charges. But from an investigation standpoint, this is concerning. And I don't think we should support as an organization a player who, you know, puts his hands on a pregnant woman. And there's concern there. And I don't know if there's anything to this, but in my opinion, we move on from this guy, regardless if he's a Hall of Famer. I don't want to cheer for him anymore. And if there's anything we can use as a bargaining chip to go get a primetime wide receiver like Devontae Adams, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing that numbers-wise that actually supports that,
yeah.
But I don't know if there's anybody calling for moving on from this guy. I mean, he doesn't represent the values that I think the organization represents. That's the problem.
Yeah. All right, Alex, I appreciate every word you just said, really, and I feel it. It is a tremendous dilemma for fans. I mean, I think, you know, the Bills aren't shedding any light on exactly what, you know, why this happened, but, you know, McDermott said you can assume what you want to assume. Almost has to be, unless there's something else egregious that happened between last November and, you know, now the suspension coming that we never heard about, which would also be awful. Yes, I think the suspension tells you the league looked into it and found that the claims that the pregnant partner at the time made were credible enough, even though she recanted and dropped the charges that often happens in cases of domestic violence. They found cause to suspend him. And yeah, you'd like to have a cleaner conscience cheering on the old hometown team. So, you know, I feel every bit of passion that you delivered that commentary with. The bad news is there's really nothing to be done. I mean, the $28 million in dead money, even with a reworked contract for this year. I think they can walk away in the offseason, but there's no getting it. Like, him as a trade chip, it doesn't exist. And it's not just because of whether a team would find him palatable or helpful. It's just the Bills would have to find a way to stash money, more dead money, that they simply cannot afford. So you're going to have to we're all going to have to put our heads down and hope for the best. Get through 4 weeks, hope he comes back and makes some plays for you, and if your cheering is muted, maybe you'll have a lot of company in that. And again, I think that's a completely respectable place to be standing on it and be feeling about it, but I really don't think there's anything to be done here. You're just stuck. It happens. It's business, and it can be really ugly, and this is an example of it. Appreciate the call, and raising the subject. 803-0550 is the number. Take a timeout here. Sal Capaccio coming at the top of the hour. Mike Schopp is off today, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is W.